and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. I won this one.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 484. This is your host, Godfrey, and my co-host, weekly co-host. Let's start off with Pete Rock. Pete, what's up?
What is up?
Hype.
Hype.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes. And also we have Pasta J.
What's up? Pete kind of scared me there. Like, I didn't expect that. I was like, whoa, man, infectious. I guess I'm pumped now, too. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I feel like Flavor Flav in the house. Let's do this. Yeah.
Paris is not here. Where's Paris?
Oh, he's stuck in LAX traffic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Eternally, okay. For all time.
Yeah. Been making moves behind the scenes. Shout out to Paris. Hopefully, he will be joining us very, very soon. During E3. This is our last corner. Can you believe it? This is our last episode recording at home before E3.
Yeah. Enjoy the comfort while you can.
Oh my God. Been waiting on this for a very, very, very long time.
Super exciting.
The plans that we have for this year. Wow. It's exciting and scary. And I think Pete mentioned that earlier too before we recorded. It's like yo, it's mind blowing the stuff that we have, man. Plan for E3. Pete, what do you have to say, man?
Like, can we talk about what we're gonna do and we want to talk about that?
Not yet. I'll say this. Well, everybody knows about our studio that we're gonna be recording throughout the week at a real CBS radio.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I mean,
okay, yeah, that you
all right,
can talk
so like,
about.
There's a bunch of nerves going on in my system right now, like Danny said, like typically when we've gone to E3 or we go to PAX or we go to an event, you know, like we're sitting there, we're talking with people. Once the mic recorder goes red and we're live.
Yeah,
it's like we go into automatic mode with recording, but this time, you know, we're going to be walking in. We're gonna be walking up to the studio, and it's gonna be like that first day of school jitters, like woo, and then you know we're gonna be walking through the hallway, woo, and then we're gonna walk into the studio, and then we're all gonna faint, and we're gonna get Charmin soft again, like Paris likes to say, crying about how excited though, how we're going to be, you know, just you know, it's gonna be, wow,
big plans,
and for the community and for those listening. I mean, this is just a culmination of a lot of hard work and dedication, but, you know, we're not going to rest on those laurels. You know, we're going to use this opportunity to make sure we do bigger, better things for you guys, because you guys listening to us are, you know, the reason we do this stuff most of the time. So
definitely.
You know, so
absolutely.
Can't wait.
I mean, look, yes, of course, we have all the interviews planned and put this way, our calendar looks crazy. I think we're going to lose our voice by Wednesday of that week of E3.
Well, you're being very generous with that.
it's looking really, really crazy. And I'll say this. I'll give you a hint on something that I can't really talk about yet. But I think that we are going to break records compared to like the download numbers that we had last year. It's looking like it's going to be a lot. I mean, we're going to surpass our numbers big time. If everything goes well, it's going to be pretty big. And here's one thing I do want to mention. I would like to play right now the world premiere of our new E3 2015 intro for the week of E3. I'm going to play this right now. And we're going to talk about it very quick.
You're now listening to Gamertag Radio's E3 2015 coverage. This is Gamertag Radio, a Gamertag Radio exclusive. Let's get this started.
All right, so that's the war premiere of our new intro for E3. And I'm pretty excited. Shout out to Play.it. Everybody over there, CBS Radio, for helping us making this sweet short intro for the show. So, yeah, look, just be on the lookout. on like on Twitter and Facebook. We're going to be announcing more stuff throughout the week of E3. And also, we have a lot of plans. There's going to be so much content. Like, you guys, make sure that you subscribe, because I don't want you to miss the content that we plan to post. So Sunday night is the Bethesda press conference. Pawson and Paris are going to be attending there. So after the press conference, we're going to be recording at the studio. They're going to meet us over there. And we're going to have a nice roundtable discussion about the press conference for Sunday night. Monday is going to be a pretty busy day for all of us. So I'm going to try my best to post content like throughout the day. We have a Microsoft press conference. We have Ubisoft, EA, Sony. And we're also attending on a special media event. I can't say what it is. Later that night, right after the Sony press conference. And the cool thing about that is that we are going to be recording at the event. And we have some pretty good interviews planned for that event too. So Tuesday, Nintendo's coming out with a press conference. We're going to watch that. E3 is going to open like around the afternoon or so. So that's when we're going to go crazy with appointments and interviews. So we're going to have a lot of content throughout the week. Just make sure that you subscribe. Have your favorite podcast app there and just refresh until you see all the content from GTR. Or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or our website, and everything's going to be there too. So, or play that it. All right? So we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, we have a couple of topics we like to talk about. So let's take a short break.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey guys, Patrick here, and wanted to talk about something that's a little bit near and dear to my heart because it opens a pretty bad old wound. Fortunately, a couple years ago, my apartment I was living in with friends was broken into and robbed, and all my really cool fancy electronic stuff, my Xbox, my TV, my PlayStation, it was all taken. Very sad, very unfortunate. But I think this is a little bit on me because I did not decide to invest in a decent security system, let alone one at all. What I got notified about is this cool company called Alarm Grid, which is actually a do-it-yourself home security company. It's not something you sign up a contract for. It's not something you're locked in with. It's not a company coming out installing all this high-end stuff for you and having to pay a lot of money every month to upkeep it and replace every little thing. What they offer basically is little packages that you can self-install. They're very easy to set up. They have very detailed instructions online how to set up these sensors. But it's a do-it-yourself home security system that basically can give you wireless access through your phone, your smart devices, to access your home security system on demand and basically keep your stuff safe. Very easy to set up. And the nice thing is there's no, you know, activation fees. They don't charge exorbitant prices for a single sensor. They offer you a fair price. You buy the equipment up front, you set it up, and their monitoring ranges for only $10 and up a month. It's very reliable, it's very affordable, easy to monitor, easy to maintain, and it just makes you feel comfortable. And again, check out the site, check out the testimonials, check out their YouTube videos. It's all very easy to set up and maintain, and you'd be surprised at, you know, how little work it takes to have that safe peace of mind that, you know, is wonderful to have if you're a frequent traveler like I am. But again, check it out, alarmgrid.com/GTR, and give it a shot.
Don't miss
Gamertag Radio's E3 2015 coverage live from the Los Angeles Convention Center.
June 14th through the 18th.
Daily roundtable, interviews, press conferences, feedback, and surprises. Don't miss this year's biggest video game conference.
Paris.
Be happy that you're getting the game and be happy that it's going to play exactly the same on all the platforms and just enjoy it.
Pete Rock.
I would reload on purpose. Like I'd fire once and
Patrick.
So I've been all over the place, but now I'm back and ready for some podcasting.
Danny, take their time to play their game. I don't want you guys to be rushing it.
This will be Gamertag Radio biggest E3 coverage ever. Will Xbox show their biggest lineup? What are the plans for PlayStation for 2015 and beyond? With no Zelda this year, what Nintendo has plans for 2015? Will Paris be nervous to interview 343's own Bonnie Ross?
Bonnie, Dennis, thank you for your time. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Find out all this and more at gamertagradio.com or play.it. Subscribe now.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, we're back here, Gamertag Radio, episode 484. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it to listen to our past episodes or give us a call, 76273-7GTR. That's 76273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Make sure to mention where you're calling from or emailing us from so we can give you a shout out and also mention your hometown, all right? So this week, Bethesda, of course, I was expecting for them to show this at the press conference, but no. These companies like to hype things up, and they finally revealed Fallout 4. They had a pretty good trailer that they posted on YouTube and also on their website and on Twitch. And man, everybody was excited. And this game takes place in Boston. So what are your thoughts about the new Fallout 4? Let's go with Possum because he has been very, very excited about this game. And then after that, we're going to talk to Pete that doesn't usually play RPGs, but I know it got his attention big time too. So Possum, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I got to say, I was kind of surprised like you were that they went out and released this trailer before their Sunday press conference. But again, all the speculation was there. The rumors had been there for years. The rumors about Boston have been there for years. It's awesome that all that's got confirmed. And the best part, too, is coming out with that trailer that looks like it's using in-game footage, obviously edited for stylized purposes, but it's using, looks like, the engine that they're going to be running when the game launches. And that's really nice to see, seeing something at that early level, seeing, you know, the level of animation they're using. A lot of people pointed this out online, but the fact that there's a lot more colors in this game than there were in Fallout 3 New Vegas is a huge plus, because a lot of people were turned off by how desolate the wastelands were and the Capital Wasteland and the Nevada Desert. I think Boston's a great location they could have gone with. I love the contrast between, you know, the wasteland part, like I said, and you have the different cities and like a lot of new things. They have airships now with Brother of Steel's returning, a lot of little hits and bits here and there, but it's really like the vibe a lot. It was straight up Fallout. You got that classical 50s music playing. You got that great Ron Perlman voiceover about war never changes. You know, you got the vault in there, hits all the high points, and it's got me super excited because I was a huge fan of Fallout 3 in New Vegas. Which was strange because, you know, when I was growing up, I never even played the first two Fallouts. You know, those are PC games. I was a total console gamer at the time. And I remember being floored by Fallout 3 when you walk out of the vault for the first time. And I expect a very similar sensation with Fallout 4 as well. But it's got me very excited. I cannot wait to see more gameplay. I want to see what the new VAT system is like. I want to see what their gun engine is like. You know, so many unknowns at this point, but it's just nice to know it's real. It's coming. We're going to get to CD3, and that's really got me excited because these are the kind of games that I dump hundreds of hours into because they're amazing. They're immersion machines, and I am more than ready to step out of that vault and go kick some ass across Boston because that's my kind of game right there, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, this is for the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC.
Not last gen. Big.
Not last gen. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know what I'm saying? So
do not hold it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete, what about you? Because I know you really don't play much RPG games. And now with The Witcher that came out, and kind of Destiny is kind of RPG-ish / first person. But this is going to be a combination to that.
Well, it's not my first experience with Fallout. I did spend a little bit of time on Fallout 3, and I went out and got the limited edition with the lunchbox.
That's the sweet lunchbox.
Yeah. So it's not my first foray into Fallout. Unfortunately, I think it was the wrong time for me personally, because that was one of those that was when I was neck deep into Call of Duty and first person shooters, and if it wasn't a Twitch response type environment, it just didn't fit for me.
Fallout 3 was a really bad first-person shooter, let's be honest.
Yes.
Great RPG,
yes.
Terrible first-person shooter.
Correct. And so I'm probably going to associate this with my maturity with video games. I mean, over the last couple of years, I've broken out of the FPS shell and, you know, started playing Diablo 3 and, you know, as you said, Witcher 3, which, you know, maybe it's a 3 number that just get it.
Yeah, it's that magic trilogy number.
Maybe it's the trilogy. It's the last one, Mass Effect 3. You know, there's another example.
Yeah.
But watching that trailer, I think I like everybody else, after that 60-second, 90-second trailer, I was already throwing my wallet at the monitor. I'm ready. Took screen caps of the entire, you know, the video. I was taking screen captures as I was watching it on my phone. Put up the lightning bolt logo from Fallout 4. Put that as my cover, you know, my cover photo on Facebook. I'm in. I mean, once the dog came out, I was like, okay, yeah, it's me and my dog. We're going out there. We're gonna do this work. I don't know. I'm in the hype train. I'm all aboard. Yeah. I don't know what
to take to throw me off at this point. I guess it's like the frame rate is just like terrible. But I mean, I'm thinking if you didn't get a steady 30 frames locked on consoles, you know, with the graphics, the engine that we saw running, I'm more than pleased. You know, I accept as a console gamer, I'm not going to have it all. Witcher 3 proved that to me. But as long as the game is fun and it runs well, I'm all on board. I do not. But it definitely it'll be a great PC game, great PS4 game, Xbox One game. I really hope they put a lot of time and effort into optimizing it, and hopefully there is, you know, not as much radical difference between the different versions other games been. But I think, as we said before, not having the last gen versions in the equation at all, letting them fully dedicate themselves, I assume PC is primary platform as usual for them, and I hope they have a good team porting it to the one in the PS4. Mm-hmm. This is a big one, man. I mean, this is probably the first game that's going to get people to run out and be like, oh crap, I gotta go buy a next gen system now. And I know we've been saying that for a while, like, when is that game going to come out? From the response Fallout 4 has gotten just from that trailer, without even like any actual gameplay shown there, that's big. So I think Bethesda's got a lot riding on their shoulders come Sunday. We all expect to see an on-stage play demo of the game. I don't think they'll disappoint, but I'm just very curious, you know, will they go in the same direction that 3 New Vegas went, or play it safe, or are they going to try something a little different here? I'm still kind of hoping we'll get like some kind of vehicle. Like, I want to ride a horse or a motorcycle or something. Cause I mean, I love walking as much as the next guy, but come on, that was so 2007. Like, let's get some transportation going in my Fallout wasteland.
Yeah. So yeah. Have you delved into any of the rumor mill theories stuff from the trailer?
Like, which one?
Okay. So now, while I didn't finish Fallout 3, you know, I only have a couple of hours or two, I did follow through the storyline of the actual game. Mm-hmm. So as you're watching Fallout 4, and again, these are theories that have been up on the net, but this is the only one that has really stuck with me. So as you're watching the trailer, and for those who haven't seen it, you know, like we've said in the past, pause the podcast real quick, jump over to YouTube, check out the video trailer, come back. And then this will kind of make sense. So as you're watching the trailer, you see dog meat. That's the name of the dog from Fallout 3, which apparently is back in Fallout 4 now. You see him come up and he starts to sniff the cradle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts back to the past where you see a father and a mother looking over a baby in the crib. And then later on, you see the dog coming out of the gas station and seeing the man walking down the street. And if you pause both and you do a comparison, they look like the same person. Now, I don't know if that was done on purpose or if that was, you know, just coincidence, but it looks like it's the same person. So it's almost like it's the same person. And some people are saying that it's kind of like a nod to the original Fallout 3, where now the father is searching for the son as opposed to the opposite in Fallout 3.
Mm. Huh. That's weird. When you described that, I was putting one mother and Gwen together and being like, oh, we're the baby. I get that. But you meant the other way around. I don't know. Can Troy Baker pull off an older man voice? Well, that's a lie. He already did that in Last of Us. That man's so talented. Like, what the hell? How can any voice actor be that talented? Props to Troy, though. He's a great guy.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's
now I gotta watch it again.
To show you how excited I am that I'm already going X-Files. Play cue it up. I'm already going X-Files now.
I like that.
I'm already digging into theories and stuff. And the game, this is just a teaser. And the other big question that a lot of people are asking are, okay, well, is this 2015 or is this 2016 game?
Yeah, yeah, that was one of the things because I believe there was people. Some people went to the Bethesda online store and it says coming 2015, but then Bethesda saying no, it's not. We have no comments about that. Now here's the thing: if this game comes out this year, wow, it's going to have a lot of competitions, but it's going to sell a lot of copies because, look, it's Star Wars coming out this year, Halo 5. What's the big one, too, for this year?
Metal Gear Solid 5.
That one. What else?
Halo 5.
I mentioned Halo.
I mean, besides the normal Call of Duties and...
I'm talking about, like, games that we know is going to sell. Because that's the thing. We don't have the official games. Like, okay, there's already announced 2015.
Yeah, but I feel like after E3, we'll get hard, you know, September, October, November, December dates from these publishers and developers. But, yeah, that was... It surprised me, too, because, you know, this whole time, I've always assumed Fallout 4 would be an early 2016 title. That's just a no-brainer to me. And then seeing the response on the internet from people like just saying, oh, snap, this is definitely going to come out this year. And I'm like, wow, that's a bold statement. But it would be a bold move by Bethesda to come out at Sunday with a release date. Boom, day and day. Here it is in October or in November. That would shake up E3 right there in the very beginning. That'd be a huge power move for them because I think... Because Fallout 4 is so different, I think there's almost no overlap between that and Call of Duty and Halo and Star Wars other than the fact that they have guns in them. Fallout is doing its own thing so well, and this is me speculating, I think it will sell regardless. So I think people even that, you know, assumed that they would just wait and get it in 2016, they'll come up with the money to get it in 2015 because of the response it's probably going to get, the marketing push it's going to get. But that would be huge. That would throw off my entire gaming for the holidays because I'm so in Rainbow Six and Star Wars Battlefront mode right now, hardcore. If Fallout comes out, I'm like, oh crap! I got to make serious choices here. This is like a Destiny, Witcher kind of choice. Like, oh man, I have to have priorities here.
That's good because if they do announce that, they're going to make a huge, huge impact at E3 that everybody's going to be talking about that.
That could be a show stealer off the bat right there. I'm not sure what else other game could come out and steal that thunder from Fallout 4 because the expectation is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just don't know what to expect other than that it'll be there. And that's fun. You know, hopefully nothing leaks 24 hours, you know, or while we're waiting in line to get in. Like, I hate that kind of stuff. So if they can keep it all close-knit, this could be a huge E3, like the one that the industry and the gamers really need to get excited again. And they have Adam Sessler and Morgan Webb hosting the thing. Like, how cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
I grew up watching them. They're like my heroes. That's props to them.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be talking about everything that we got to see during the press conference on Sunday night. So make sure subscribe. I'm gonna mention that throughout the whole episode because I'm telling you, we're gonna have a lot of content.
Sunday, you will be busy.
Yeah, Sunday night, Monday morning. Just bear with us, you know, because this is gonna be the first time that we're working with CBS during E3. So, you know, it's gonna come up. Just make sure to subscribe and be patient. All right. So now here's the thing: how long do you think it's gonna be that Bethesda press conference, because is it only for one game? I mean,
No.
Doom.
I know
the
Doom.
Elder Scrolls Online. Come on, they've got a handful of stuff, and not to mention
surprises.
So there's also another rumor that says that's not going to be all that Bethesda unveils. So a couple of years ago, there was a game called Prey that. There was supposed to be a sequel that didn't become a sequel, and now there's rumblings that there's going to be a resurgence, and although it's not going to be per se Prey 2, the game that was originally going to become Prey 2 is now going to become like a spiritual successor to System Shock 2, which is... You know,
really,
which is a classic. And that was an original Bethesda title. So I'm thinking now that Fallout 4 has officially been announced, there's going to be that other surprise that's behind curtain number 3, and I think that's what that's going to be. Now, whether it's actually called Prey 2 or it follows another with a title, I don't know.
I'm
going to throw out Pete's rumor mill bag real quick, and that's mine real quick.
I like that because if you guys are familiar with the Prey 2 concept, it was you were a bounty hunter that was transported through time and space to a foreign alien world. and you become a bounty hunter.
Yep.
And that just sounds like stupidly fun, regardless of, like, I don't care what you're into. That sounds fun. But yeah, I don't think it should be Prey 2. I love Prey. It was a great game. Trying to make a sequel with, you know, very weak connections to the original, I don't think it's worth it. I think they should just give it a brand new name, brand new marketing push, because I think the idea would work. But by slapping that big 2 on there, people will be like, oh, wait, what was Prey 1? And it'll go back and be like, I don't want to play an old dated shooter game, hey, even though it's a very good one, and you should.
Grand Theft Auto, I think they've done a pretty damn good job of doing that.
Now Rockstar okay. is doing their complete, they're like Valve, they're off doing their completely own thing and their own little part of the gaming sphere, and good but for them. What? But
hey, nobody talks about Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2. Everybody talks about 3, 4, Vice City, and everywhere else. So.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break, and once we come back, more remasters coming out. Typical. Not surprised about that. And also, Patrick, you have a review this week. What is it?
I do. I'm reviewing the Turtle Beach 800X 7.1 surround sound headset designed specifically for the Xbox One. And that is such a mouthful. I had to practice saying that.
Okay.
And also, but it's a cool product, and we'll review it in a sec.
All right. And also, we have fan mails, all this and more.
Fun.
Only on Gamertag Radio. We'll be right back.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so Danny, we've done fantasy sports stuff in the past, right?
Yep. All right, many times.
All right, so for those that don't know, every year we have a GTR fantasy league, and you know we do it with NFL. You know, it's a lot of fun. So, personally, what was your worst part of that whole fantasy sports experience?
Honestly, just the whole waiting part, waiting for to play the draft and waiting on like who's going to win at the end of the season. It's just the whole waiting part is just annoying after a while. You know what I'm saying?
So we have an answer. So DraftKings is the official partner for Major League Baseball. They're the official sponsor of Gamertag Radio for 2015. And they have an amazing fantasy solution for you. So at DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. And you can go and log in to DraftKings.com with your login and daily make your selection for Major League Baseball. You could pick, you know, 2 pitchers, 8 position players. As long as you stay into the salary cap and you pick the right players on any given day, you can win, and you don't have to wait till the end of the season to find out who wins. You win. If you win that day, you get paid instant cash, instant gratification that day. There's no season-long commitments. All you got to do is go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code GAMERTAG to play for free, and you can win part of a $300 million in prizes being awarded this season alone. Think about that. $300 million. That's crazy. All you got to
use. Yeah, that is very crazy.
All you have to do is use the promo code GAMERTAG for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, welcome back. Gamertag Radio, episode 44. Now, remasters, guys. That's like the trend now for this gen. There's a lot of
money.
A lot of remasters. And now, Sony, well, at first, I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why. Go up, check my phone to see if there's any messages. And then I noticed that somebody posted a picture of PlayStation Store that by mistake, they added an image of the Uncharted collection, the remaster that's coming for PlayStation
Nathan
4.
Nathan Drake collection.
Nathan Drake collection, correction right there. And so it got removed. And everybody, wait a minute, are they announcing this at E3? Are they announcing it early? Like, what's going on? And they finally announced it. It's coming out, I believe, on October 9th for the States here. And it's going to have part 1, 2, and 3. And also, it will come with later this year or next year, they will have a beta of Uncharted 4 multiplayer. So what are your thoughts? I mean, look, it's cool. I love Uncharted series, you know, but honestly, you know, I played a lot of these remasters lately, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm sick of it at the moment, you know, but I think this is great for those that never had a chance to play Uncharted and they purchased like a PlayStation 4 for the first time. This will be perfect for them. And for those that just love this and want to play the Uncharted 4 multiplayer, this is perfect for them too. But I just want to get the reaction about all this.
This is a great introduction for people who didn't get a chance to go through the Uncharted series at this point. So you're getting Drake's Fortune, Among Thieves, and Drake's Deception, as well as, like you said, the multiplayer beta access.
Yeah.
Either later this year or early 2016 before the game launches. For a game that's averaged a really, really high, like, Metacritic and customer rating, I mean, while yes, 2015 has become, you know, synonymous with HD remakes, this is probably the best opportunity or the one of the better titles to get one, you know, because you've got people who, similar to you and me, Danny, where yes, while we may have PlayStations in our house, we may not have invested the amount of time in a series like Uncharted, you know, because we're primarily, you know, Xbox players, or, you know, because primarily we play on the Emerald console. So to have that opportunity now to get them all in HD, in true HD, in a next gen format, I don't see why not. I mean, if I had a desire or a need to get a PlayStation 4 this holiday season, this is probably one of those titles, besides maybe, you know, throwing in a Bloodborne for a Christmas for a Christmas gift or something like that. An Uncharted collection with maybe like an Uncharted branded, you know, PlayStation 4 would probably be a really dope gift to get.
Definitely. I think so.
Hint to the management in the house, right?
I think part two is the best of the three. That's like the best.
That's universally accepted. Yeah. The Empire Strikes Back of Uncharted. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. For those that are wondering, oh, it's gonna have the multiplayer of the game. No, it's not gonna have the. It's only Uncharted 4 multiplayer access, beta access. That's it. There's no multiplayer. And you know what? It's cool. I prefer to play the single player than the multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, I played the multiplayer 2 and 3. Let me put it this way: have you guys played the multiplayer of Tomb Raider?
Yes, I have, and I only played it a couple
Uncharted
times.
Uncharted multiplayer, but way better. I'll just be honest. Like, I just think they took that and ran with it. So I think it's a little dated, the multiplayer. But again, I agree with you guys. If you have not played Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, and you now have a PS4 or you're going to get one, you need to play these. These are must-play games. These are the games that people have been talking about for years because they really are that incredible. I absolutely adored them. When I bought my PS3 used a couple years ago, these were the first three games I picked up. I just blew through them one after the other, and it was just like the, you know, watching like... And it was playing like the best movie trilogy I'd played on any game, and really great stuff. Excellent. Gameplay still holds up. The set pieces are some of the, especially the second one, some of the best you'll see in video games. And really, I guess you just have to hate, you know, I don't even know what you would say. You guys seem to hate third-person shooters. You just hate movie games, but this is one of those things you need to play. Like Pete said, you know, if they're probably going to have some kind of PS4 bundle with this to make up for not having Uncharted 4 this year, I would say hop on that, because really, I think Bloodborne is still amazing, but like, that's still a stupidly hard game, and Uncharted is not, because it has difficulty settings, which Bloodborne does not have. So yeah, if you are a new PS4 adopter, you absolutely should hop on the Nathan Drake Collection. You will not regret it, and it will make you incredibly hyped for the fourth one, just as much as the rest of us are, because that's why we all lost our minds when we saw the 4 trailers. Like, oh man, Nathan Drake's coming back. Oh, he's got a brother. Oh man. So I'm hyped for sure. So let them take their time making 4. I do not mind waiting. There are more enough games I can play this year. But yeah, I probably would play through these again in 1080p, 60fps. I'm sure it looks great. The first one could definitely benefit from that. It's the most dated of the three, but yes, overall, the gameplay is still strong. Come on, man. Like, it's Nathan Drake. He's got some of the best one-liners in gaming. I mean, Nolan North really killed that role.
And so the people that are doing Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection, it's not Naughty Dog. Did you know
Interesting.
That?
Yeah. Well, Naughty Dog, they're working on the...
They're working on the new one.
Yeah, Blue Point Games. Are
correct. And so those who aren't familiar with them, it's not their first foray into doing a collection or something like this. They've done the God of War collection. They did Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection. They've done the Metal Gear Solid HD collection. They even worked on a little bit of Titanfall last year. So, and Flower the year before. So this isn't their first foray, and, you know, they've got a pretty good track record so far. So
that's good
for those that are concerned about, okay, you know, since Naughty Dog is focusing on the next, you know, Uncharted, you know, is this going to be done well? I think there's a pretty good chance that this is going to be done very well. you know, considering, you know, like I said, the track record of Blue Point Games.
Yeah, and especially by not having the multiplayer and not having that unknown factor of, oh, will this will or will not work at launch?
Mm-hmm.
It's a single player game. You're guaranteed it's going to work. It's probably going to run great and play great. So,
well, they're saying
Blue Point has proven themselves. I mean, I played the ICO and Shadow of the Colossus HD collection. It was really, really good.
Yes, and they're saying 1080p, 60 frames per second all day with additional video enhancements. So,
nice. That's good. So that makes me feel that, okay, so this was planned for Uncharted 4 to get
delayed. I don't think it's ever realistic to get it this year, probably because the scale of the game is insane.
No, it's not. Not only that, it's just because they want to release this collection.
They don't want to jam them together and give them space to breathe. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, Paris, I know he mentioned that last week. Like, oh, they didn't know that this game was gonna get delayed, and yeah, this is all planned out, man. You know, it's gonna work out for them anyway. So. All right, so very quick, Pete or Pawson, I know I sent you a link of some comments from Phil Spencer. You know how he is. He's always replying back to the Twitter fans, Twitter followers. And you want to read a couple of questions that they asked him? And some of them are very, very interesting, like his answers. They got the attention from the media.
Well, the one that drew me in was the first – was. So, quick question for Phil. Will we see something about Crackdown at E3? And his response was, sorry, not announcing what games are where right now, but Crackdown is making great progress. So, I know Crackdown was reintroduced last year at E3 to a lot of fanfare. And God knows if I have to go on another couple of months spree of trying to find all those goddamn orbs all over the city, I'm gonna be.
That's the best part of the game.
That's it, really. For me, it's one of those crack parts. Yeah, it's like you have to find, and every time you hear that, you start looking up. So I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that we're going to see Crackdown in some way, shape, or form at E3 this year. I think that was now whether they're going to show it at the PC. Portion of E3, or they're going to be focusing that on the Xbox console. That should be interesting to see.
Asked him about the hardware during the PC press conference. He's going to be there, Xbox, and he's like, he responded to this. He was like, "I'm not on the stage to try convince PC gamers to buy an Xbox One if that's what people are worried about." I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, you should focus on the games. That's the strength of consoles. Don't worry about all the innards. Leave that to the people who build their own PCs. Don't confuse your audience. Don't confuse your consumers. Just give them what they paid $400 to $500 for quality games, third party and first party. Bring the thunder, man.
Yeah, and you know what? They have the option if they want to buy that console or not. I think that's great. I love how Phil has been doing all these moves with his team. And they changed their focus big time. Now, they're going to be pushing a lot, the whole PC stuff and Windows 10 and Xbox One. I just love the things that he's handling over there at Xbox. And here's the cool thing, too, that the whole Xbox team, they are invited. They're going to invite 500 fans to go to Xbox Fan Fest, as I believe that's like right after the press conference, right?
Yep.
And whoever attends that event, all 500 people are also going to get badges to go to E3, all access. I mean, not media, but you go inside to the convention center, you get to see everything there, you're basically getting the badge for the whole week. I think that's awesome because there's people that have been dreaming to attend E3, and this is a big opportunity for them to attend. And here's the thing, too. It's not only Xbox giving out badges, but every other company out there are doing the same thing, too. I'm not sure. I haven't heard much about Xbox or Nintendo, but I know that the ESA did an interview with Polygon and mentioned that they gave badges to a certain amount to different companies that are going to be showing their games so they could also invite their fans to see their games. And that's exciting. I think we need that in the industry. Get the consumers excited because, you can't now in 2015 you can't just focus on the business side and that's it. I think a mix of media, community, and retail is going to help the industry grow even more. You know what I'm saying?
And,
they're all going to be the first one.
The word of mouth from the people that are lucky enough to get those tickets into E3 and experience that firsthand. I mean, they're going to go home and tell all their friends and family, like, oh my God, you will not believe the crazy stuff I saw at E3. And like, that's what we need. We need that excitement again. You know, like when I used to watch, you know, the E3 press conferences live on G4 back in the day, and, you know, getting like jumping off my couch and freaking out at like the things they were announcing. Like, we need that level of excitement because it pushes the industry forward. And that's what drives innovation, is people be like, oh man, that looks amazing. I'm going to throw money at this until I get this.
Yep. Everybody gets excited.
Yeah.
It gets me excited seeing things like that.
That's why we don't have these. That's why E3 is not, you know, a lame thing in a couple of hotel rooms, you know, off to the side, like it tried to be for a couple of years. Like, you know, it's supposed to be a multimedia gigantic behemoth of amazing technology. Like, that's why we're gamers, man. That's why we get so passionate and excited, and like why people stare at us when we're debating about games in public. Be like, what are those people talking about? Why are they so loud about it? No, it's about games. It's great.
Yeah, I remember it was a couple of years ago. We were at the Michael Pachter party, and it was a couple of us debating.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Cliffy B, Michael Pachter, Jeff Keighley, everybody looking at us like, what's going on over there in the corner? And it's us just... that passion, like, no, we were like having a crazy debate. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So all right, so we're gonna play Patrick's review, Turtle Beach headset, right?
Yep, Turtle Beach 800X.
Okay, we're gonna play it right now, and once we come back, let's see if we have any other questions. Let's play it.
Hey guys, Patrick here, and I'm back with a new review for you for this week. And this time we're going to do something a bit different. We're going to talk wireless gaming headsets this time around, specifically talking about the Turtle Beach Elite 800X 7.1 surround sound wireless headset, specifically designed for the Xbox One. Now me personally, I've always been a wired gaming headset kind of guy. I've gone through countless pairs of Turtle Beaches and Tritons and Logitechs and you name it. I've probably used it over the years, but I've never really stepped into the fray of the wireless gaming headset before. So this was a first for me in a couple of points. The first one was the build quality. You know, I'm used to very lightweight, flimsy little wired gaming headsets that are light and comfortable to wear. But I got to say, for the build quality of the 800X, it's very impressive. It's a very solid weight in your hands. It doesn't feel like it could fall and break very easily. It feels like a durable, high-end tech product, and that's really nice. And the second thing is the comfort level. It actually is surprisingly a comfort for something of its weight, because it is a little bit heavier than some of the other gaming headsets out there, specifically the wired ones, because everything has to be built obviously into the headset. So for me, it felt very comfortable to wear them for extended periods of time. Now the sound quality on this, it's really, really good. I gotta be honest, as a person who considers themselves a bit of an audiophile from time to time, I was very impressed the first time I put these on. It really is a complete 7.1 surround sound experience in your head. And if you play a lot of first-person shooters like I do, it gives you a complete sensory awareness to everything around. You can hear the smallest footsteps, you know, bullet shells hitting the ground, a lot of little details you miss out on, you pick up with this headset. So for review purposes, I played through a couple of my favorite first-person shooters. Namely, I went back to the Master Chief Collection. I played through the entire Halo 3 ODST campaign with these headsets, as well as playing a number of Halo 2 online matches with this headset. And I just got to say, I was very impressed from start to finish. I heard things that I probably hadn't heard in 10 years in some of these games, and things I didn't even hear then because, you know, I was using outdated TV speakers back in those days. But the point is, shooters sound fantastic on this system, and they even have specialized modes and presets you can use, namely a movie mode, a music mode, a gaming mode, and a stereo mode as well if you want to deselect the surround sound. So for the gaming mode, there's a couple of options you can go through. There's a signature sound, though, which is kind of their preset-tuned one that works for most games. You have the shooter preset, which is the one I usually use, and it gives you that great boost to the bass for explosions, as well as accentuate your hearing a little bit so you can hear the footsteps around you. They have a mode for racing. They have a mode for sports. They have two more specialized modes. One's called Superhuman Hearing, which is perfect for games like Splinter Cell, Metal Gear Solid, where you're in a quiet environment. You need to know where your enemies are at all times. And it definitely gives you that, you know, bat-like hearing ability to hear things far away. And there's a footstep focus preset mode as well, which is more in tune for probably the Call of Duty player, while as a Superhuman Hearing is meant for, as I said before, the slower Splinter Cell-like stealth games. Now, because it is a wireless gaming headset, the microphone is built in. It's not something you have to retract or adjust to push in and out of the way. And here's the pros and cons of this. The pros is obviously by having the mics hidden, you don't have to worry about pushing and pulling a mic back and forth based on if you're eating or drinking or if it's in the way. It's nice to have them obviously out of the way. The con is it's not picking up your voice as loud as it should be. And here's my problem with that. Most mics are designed where you have a talkback feature where you have a little bit of what you're saying fed back into your headset so you don't have to yell over yourself. It has that feature, but the volume is still not loud enough, so you're still having to yell over yourself, specifically if you play FPS games where there's a lot of gunfire, explosions, you're flying a helicopter, any number of things, and you're basically still having to yell over yourself to hear your own voice. And it's a real problem because they include four preset mic modes that are supposed to be tuned to pick up your voice based on the room you're in. So they have a quiet room setting, a normal room setting, an outdoor use setting, and a loud room setting. The problem is they're all pretty much the same. And even on the quiet room setting, which says on the box is supposed to be the best for picking up the most noise from your mouth, it doesn't work that well. And where other headsets I've had in the past have simply had a volume slider to make it louder so you can hear yourself better, this one doesn't. As I said, it just has the four presets. So if none of them work, you're kind of screwed. So this is probably my main complaint with the headset, is for something that was advertised as, and I'll quote here, variable mic monitoring lets you hear your own voice in the headset to avoid shouting. And that's just simply not true. I mean, unless you just like all you do is yell and boom your voice all the time, I guess you would have a problem. But, you know, if you're like most people that like to have a normal conversation while playing your shooting games or your other loud action games, I mean, you shouldn't have to be yelling over yourself. So that's probably my biggest beef with the headset. Again, I wish it was just something as simple as a little volume slider on the side of the headset to make your own voice louder. Having the four presets doesn't seem to really do anything, and that's kind of a big bummer to me. Now, these are noise cancellation. You can turn that on and off. Obviously, if you're talking with people, you want noise cancellation on and off. But if you're playing a single player game, namely, I ended up playing a lot of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, a PlayStation 4 game, mind you, with this headset with the noise cancellation on, and it sounded amazing. I was completely immersed in the world on all sides. And that's the cool part is, and even though this headset is advertised for Xbox One, it still works great as a pair of headphones on the PlayStation 4. Now, you cannot use the microphone portion of the headset on PS4 because it is not a USB headset like the PlayStation 4 likes, but you can still get the full 7.1 optical audio wirelessly into the headphones to play your single player PS4 games. And I think that's fantastic because I do play a lot of games on both systems, and it's nice to be able to use the same headset for both systems. Now, onto the battery life. It advertises a 10-hour battery life, and I gotta say, that's really not too far off from the truth. I got about 8 to 9 hours on average each use, and that was pretty much like straight, you know, 4-hour sessions, 5-hour sessions, because I was either heavy Halo gameplay or heavy Witcher 3 gameplay. So it definitely gets a great battery life. For most people, you aren't going to need to charge this more than once a day unless you're ridiculously hardcore, then you might have a problem. But it's a good battery life. I love the magnetic charging stand it comes with. Probably the first product I've ever owned that used this concept. I know I'm behind on the times, but essentially the little base that you connect your audio and your power into the system for, you just magnetically dock them onto the top of the system, and it just charges the headphones for you while you're not using them. And that's great, not having to worry about plugging a cord into it. It's simple. You just put it in there, it sits there, it docks, the light turns green, you know it's good to go. Simple and easy. I like it a lot. The range just okay on this. You're not going to be able to walk very far from the base. The farthest I probably managed to got was maybe 25 feet away before the signal dropped off. So this is definitely something you're supposed to use in the same room as the system. You can't, you know, walk to the kitchen and come back and be able to hear anything because it's going to drop off completely. But I will say another neat feature that it has is it has Bluetooth compatibility as well. And where that's beneficial is you can just turn on Bluetooth on your phone, play music on your phone, and it'll automatically send the audio into your headphones while you're playing something else. So you can get simultaneously audio from your Xbox while getting music from your phone as well, and it works fantastic. And if you get a phone call, of course, you can immediately take the phone call through the headset. It's all connected directly to Bluetooth, and it's a really nice feature to have. But if you're the kind of person that's tech savvy and you keep all your little gadgets and gizmos right around your gaming station, this is going to work great because you're not going to miss phone calls because you were, you know, too immersed in The Witcher, for example. So my really only other gripe about this headset is that the buttons are a bit sensitive on the headset itself. And namely, if you're the type of person like me that sometimes likes to, you know, lay down and play games or lay down and watch Netflix with the headphones on, if you lean on them the wrong way, you're going to accidentally press the buttons. You're either going to disable the audio, change a preset, throw something off, and it's just going to mess with your experience. And it's pretty annoying. I know it's a minor gripe, but I would have liked to have seen some kind of maybe like lock switch on the headset that disables any of the button pressing until you unlock it. Because again, you know, I know some people out there like to watch Netflix while laying down, while wearing headphones, so they don't bother anybody. These are great for it, except just don't lean the wrong way. You're going to press the buttons accidentally. So again, as I said, minor gripe, but you know, just something to think about. So overall, the Turtle Beach Elite 800X headset, it is a very, very impressive piece of hardware. The sound quality is fantastic. The build quality is sturdy. It's a good battery life, a good number of features on there. All in all, it is a great piece of hardware and a great accessory to the Xbox One. Again, as I have to say again, if you're the type of gamer that predominantly plays first-person shooters or other very loud video games in a multiplayer setting, you are going to have some problems sometimes because the mic is not going to pick up your voice as loudly as it should be, so you are going to be yelling over yourself in several situations. So for any Xbox One gamers out there looking for a new wireless gaming headset, I'd point you towards the Turtle Beach Elite 800X headset first. It retails at $299 US, so it is a premium price, but I do feel it is a premium product that is something that is built to last. You will use this for years. Most importantly, the sound quality is incredibly good, and it makes anything you're enjoying, movies, music, games, just pop into life and really immerses you into those worlds. And again, the only negative thing I have to point out is that you are just not going to be able to hear your own voice loop back in the headset as loud as you want it to be. So this could be a deal breaker for some. For some people, you're going to think I'm crazy. Like, what are you talking about? But it is something to keep in mind. So if you do decide to take the plunge and pick one up, I don't think you'll regret it. But just make sure you tried out the mic testing volume first. Make sure it works for you. Make sure you can hear yourself. Make sure you're not going to have to yell in your own living room. And if it works, golden. If not, you might want to consider another product. But again, the Elite 800X is a terrific headset, and anybody in the market for new wireless gaming headset needs to keep 800X near the top of their list. And with that, I'll send it back to the crew with any questions. Thanks.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You were listening to Gamertag Radio.
Pete, questions?
So you had no issues with wireless sound and microphone?
My main issue was the microphone. Well, I guess not the microphone, it's the talkback. It's just not putting enough of what you're saying back in your ears. Obviously, the people I'm talking to can hear me fine, but I'm having to speak louder than my normal talking voice to hear myself over the gunfire of Halo and Battlefield. But as far as like the wireless audio, I had no drop-offs at all, no bad signals. I mean, it's solid. It works everywhere in my room. Like I said, obviously, you can't walk very far away. This isn't meant for extended range, but the room you're in, I got perfect sound quality, and I never really had any problems with, you know, degradation of quality or just, you know, straight dropping. It was really the only beef is I'd wish I could just hear myself louder in my own head, because no one wants to be the crazy person yelling in their own living room and like, get the flag, or they've got the sniper rifle, and you realize your window is open, you're like, oh man, people think I'm crazy now.
So, but is that more because you have the need to hear your own voice when you're talking to somebody online? Because, for example, like the Astros, it does have a really good return audio, mm-hmm. so that you hear yourself and you're not that guy yelling at the top of your lungs at 3 a.m. while you're trying to shoot at people, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's just because the mics are internal and they're not an external one that you can move back and forth. And because all my other wired mics are external mics, I can move the little thing back and forth. So, you know, I can get the perfect feedback of my own voice into my own head. When I play Destiny, the headset I use for that works perfectly well. Yeah, it's really just, I think, because they are so noise canceling and they just basically block out all sound, including, you know, even your own voice to a pretty annoying degree, I must say. But again, it's really only bothersome in loud multiplayer shooters, mostly where there's explosions. I didn't really have any problems with party chat or, you know, just playing The Witcher and talking with somebody. That all seemed to work just fine. But yeah, it all comes back to, I love the convenience of having the buttons on the side of the earpieces. It's very easy and quick to reach up there and do little, quick menu adjustments. But I just wait for the talk back. I wish there was just like a straight old school analog dial that I could, guarantee was all the way getting the best signal. Because as I said, those four settings, quiet room, loud room, outdoor room, normal room, they're all exactly the same. I still cannot hear myself as loud as I should be able to. And that just kind of bums me out. But I think, that is due in part to, these are a nice build quality. They're very comfortable. And like I said, they block out all noise. So, I've missed, phone calls when my phone was like 2 feet away from me because I forgot to turn the Bluetooth on like you're supposed to. And it was just blocking out everything. I couldn't hear anything. So really, that's my own mainly major concern. I guess there's really no like way around that. I've just had to get used to just speaking louder and, just yelling commands at people, which is what I seem to do anyways. I will take this moment to say I really miss the days of people, making friends on Xbox Live randomly, because now it seems like out of, the 20 people that play a multiplayer game, 3 of them talk. And usually they're not even on the same team. So that really bums me out, because I'm sitting there talking to myself and giving commands to people. I'm not even sure if they're hearing me. And I'm the one crazy guy yelling about the flag and the Warthog and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, other than that, I really like these headphones a lot. The audio quality is fantastic good. I love the fact that I can play The Witcher on PS4 with these, and it's still the 7.1 being sent into it. Yeah, so I really enjoy them. I think it's a great product. I think anybody who's like in that market, they need a new headset, should check it out. But again, I would compare and contrast it against, the competition out there to make sure. Because like you said, if you say the Astros have that high quality talkback audio in your ears, like I would caution people to compare and contrast those things, because for some people that could be a deal breaker that, they only game at night and they can't talk very loud because they don't want to wake their significant other or something. And, you're going to have a problem if you're trying to hear yourself with these. But it kind of, your mileage depends. I would just say try these out. And like I said in the review, make sure that this is not a problem for you first off. If it is, then consider another product. But again, some people will pick this up, think like, what is this guy talking about? But the audio quality itself is really, really good. I do think it is worth that premium price. And I definitely will be using these for years to come, because it is a great pair of headphones. And the battery life is impressive, especially for the amount that I game hardcore. I really have not had any issues with, just being, oh, I'm out of luck, it's out of power. It's a good battery life. It lasts for my play sessions. And I'm very happy with it overall.
Okay. All right, so it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
Yeah, last week I thought it was Pete that sounded drunk. It was actually Poston J.
Yes.
That said fan mail, and it was pretty funny how he said it. So yeah, I noticed that when I was
I was about to say it too, because Pete delayed it so long. I was like, he's going to say it? Okay, he's going to say it. Because I was going to do it for him.
Yeah. All right. So who would like to read the email? There's a couple, but choose a couple.
It's funny because the number of fan mails we've gotten recently is just, it's crazy, it's skyrocketed.
Right?
It's crazy, yeah.
Speaking of fan mail, while P is looking for an email there, here's what I would like for you, the listener. I want you to be involved with our E3 2015 coverage. This is what I want you to do. While we're posting audio throughout the whole week, roundtable discussion, interviews, anything that you get to hear from our coverage, I want you to give us feedback, send us questions, like anything that you would like for us to talk about. Just send it throughout the week. Every day, send us questions. Because next week, it's going to be pretty, pretty crazy. And, I just don't want us just record and that's it. I want also the listener to be involved with our coverage. So make sure to call us or send us email during the week of E3. Okay.
All right. So the first email we're gonna read is from El Gran J.
El Gran J.
Joel Boricua star from Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
All right. So I'm just gonna get straight to his question. Just wondering, what is the special game that got away that you always wanted to play but never got a chance to, that up to this day you wish you could go back and play it and experience? Want to know everyone's opinion.
Ooh, I'll tell you this. I was never a fan of Sega Saturn. Never. I always been a hardcore Genesis or Sega Dreamcast. But the Panzer Dragoon games that came out around that time for the Sega Saturn. Am I right? That's what it is. It came out around that time.
Yeah, the Saturn. Yeah,
I missed that. I totally wanted to play that. I had a chance to play one version that came out as a bonus, like on a lockable. You have to play the original Xbox game, and once you finish the game, then it unlocks the first one. So I don't know. I feel like everybody talked about the Panzer Dragoon for Sega Saturn. I think it would have been cool to actually play the game for the system instead of playing it as a remaster or something from another console, you know? So, yeah. That's one game for me. Let's see if there's any other ones. I'm thinking.
I'm still racking my brain over here. This is such a good question.
I have two, and one of them you guys already know, and I'm probably going to blow a lot of people's minds. I don't know if I should wait for last or, you know, let Poston go first.
No, I'm still thinking, sound like you got to go, man.
All right. So the first one, I'd probably say Legend of Zelda. I've never played a Legend of Zelda game.
You are... Woof! I'm not gonna say anything.
Mandy's
gonna kick your butt.
Oh no, she knows this. She knows this. She's well aware of this. So I'm not worried about that. The other one, I mean, and this is more because of my newfound appreciation for the RPG category.
Yeah,
I would want to say Final Fantasy because I've never played a Final Fantasy game ever.
Man, Pete,
they just never appealed to me, so I never went towards them. Just end the show with that right there. Just like bam.
Yeah, I know, right?
Drop the mic.
Might as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Panzer Dragoon series. Love it. Anyways, but you? Pawson?
Man, I feel like I'm going to go to sleep tonight and think of my answer and be like, oh, damn it. Why didn't I say that? Man.
There has to be one game. Sega CD, Super Nintendo.
Sewer Shark. I mean, come on. There's so many games.
Xbox, PlayStation 1, 2.
I don't know. I'm going to play it safe. And, man, this is killing me. There's got to be something out there. Okay, you know what? No. What I regret doing is I regret not giving Metal Gear Solid, the original, and PS1 more of a chance. I admit when I played it, I was bad, very bad at those types of games and was so mad at it, I walked away entirely. And it wasn't until the second one where I played it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is Metal Gear Solid. And so then thankfully Twin Snakes came out, the remake on GameCube, and I got the Metal Gear Solid 1 experience in its entirety. And it was wonderful. But I think I'll always regret that, you know, not giving Metal Gear Solid more of a chance because, like, at the time, I was amazed by, like, how serious the story was, how good the graphics were, like, how intense the gameplay was. But as soon as I got to that first Revolver Ocelot fight, oh, he whooped my ass so hard. I was like, oh, no, I can't do this. This is impossible. So I think there's probably a large list of games I could go back to and say, I wish I was better at video games back then or had more of the will to, like, be like, no, I'm going to finish this. It's more like, oh, this isn't fun anymore. I'm going to stop playing this. But that was a good question. I swear I'm going to come back, you know, at E3 and be like, I remember what I was going to say. And then I'll say it then.
anything, question. any other emails?
They're all like response to Paris. And I feel that he needs to be here to respond back to these and not us. Do we want to talk about the Polygon article?
I think if they've thrown like the shade on themselves at this point, do we really need to hop on that bandwagon?
That's true.
I don't want to talk about that.
I think we're good with those two. I mean,
okay, here's a good one. This is from James. I don't know where he's from. It doesn't say where he's from. But he's like, are you guys doing anything for E3 while you're out in LA? Maybe a meetup or something? I'm in the LA area and would love to meet you guys. Thanks. To tell you the truth, first of all, James, thanks. And everybody else, thanks for sending us an email. Now, here's the thing. We are planning to do a couple of things, like just with the team. And the thing is that it's looking like we're not going to have time to do it, like just to chill. Because
enough hours in the day.
There's so many things going on with us that I really don't see ourselves just hanging out. Put it this way, like we're planning to meet up with a couple people, a couple podcasters that are attending E3 also. And we even told them, like, yo, we're going to be up and down. Like, I know there's going to be people that are going to be going to parties. We're going to try to But my focus is to make this the best coverage that we ever made ever for GTR, you know, because I think, in my opinion, business is first, pleasure later, you know, and this is a big opportunity for us because we're also having CBS involved, you know what I'm saying? So, and we want everybody to be happy, our listeners, them, everybody, you know, and I want to be happy too because I want our content to be legit, you know. So, and we have a lot of big things going on for that week too. So, but thanks for the question, man. That's it. We have a lot of emails for Paris. He's not here. I'd rather him to find it. We probably read it during our studio session on Sunday night. So anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
No, just let's go Dub Golden State Warriors in six. I'm calling in here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm never for the Warriors too. I'm mad at LeBron for destiny. You have to bleep that out, but man,
I'm going for the Warriors too. So, all right, guys, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and share it with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, of course, Spotify, Stitcher. Just find us out there and just share it. Share it online, Twitter, Facebook, email, text. I don't care. Just tell people about GTR. Because of you, that will help us get more listeners. Also, I want you to be involved with our E3 2015 coverage. Send us questions, comments, voicemail, everything during the week that we're there in LA. Call us 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Once again, next week is going to be pretty, pretty big. We have a lot of surprises and a couple announcements that's going to surprise a lot of people. So tune in to GTR. Follow us on Twitter. And all that good stuff. And until next week, live from LA, we out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.